The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. Yes, sir. We are back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the voice of the guys. Me, really real over the real tomorrow from Virginia, here at your service. And, okay, so I know the graphic says NBA Finals player props plus MVP picks. I'm going to give you your MVP picks right now. We're going to knock this out in 10 seconds or less. Jokic, Butler. Caleb Martin didn't win Eastern Conference MVP. There's nothing he can do to win it. Jamal Murray had 32 in Western Conference. Nothing he can do to win it. It's Jokic or Butler. If you wanted the best lines, you missed the boat. Should have got in when there was a bunch of other teams left. There's your MVP picks. Welcome very much. Now, to talk NBA series, player props. Got my guy Scott Studio Rochelle. Scott, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. Definitely agree with you about the MVP piece of it. Looking forward to the series, though. I know we did a four-person podcast to go through the overall series preview. We kind of sprinkled in some player props or some long shots in there. So some of it might be a little bit of overlap, but probably not much. But looking forward to it. It's fun to break down this series in a variety of ways, and I'm looking forward to going through the player portion.
All right, and then we got the nerd himself, Delonte Smith. Delonte, what's going on, my guy?
Yeah, man, doing good. Ready to get into it. Locked in and ready to make some money, so let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look here. So, I mean, let's just make this a conversational piece, and we can start from the top and kind of work our way down and work into some sleepers and different props we like. But the top of this and what everybody probably is going to be looking at is Nikola Jokic. And from what Bam has shown us in the past and how much everybody has – seems like everybody has come on the Bam hate train, which, you know, welcome, hello all, if you're late. It doesn't matter. We still have refreshments in the back. Go get your refreshments. Get you a little snack because we're going to be here for a very, very long time with this Bam hate train. But Jokic, he's expected to average a triple-double. I think actually the prop for him to average a triple-double is minus 125. So points per game, Jokic is at 26. they're hilarious because they're trying to get 27.5. He's at 27.6 points per game, minus 130 to the over, plus 100 to the under. Rebounds per game, Jokic is at 13.8, minus 115 both ways. And assists per game, Jokic is at 10.2, minus 115 both ways. Delonte, I'll start with you. What, if anything, interests you about Nikola Jokic for this series?
Honestly, there's no value on any of that, but at those current prices. But if anything, I would go with the rebounds. I think rebounding is probably the safer bet. I think the lack of size for Miami will basically constitute him being able to control the glass. And Bam gets in foul trouble. Not sure if Cody Zeller will be much of a force to stop him on the glass. Scoring, I think he can go either way. He's a willing passer, so I wouldn't look at the scoring so much. He could have, of course, big games, but overall, I think he's comfortable with not scoring, you know, 24 or 25 points a game. I think he'll be good, you know, averaging 21, 13, and, you know, whatever else. But I think it's more so value on the rebounds than anything else, if you want to take it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just have a hard time saying somebody going to average 14 rebounds. Scott, same question over to you. What are we doing about Jokic in terms of what he can average during these series?
Well, the real problem you run into is the fact that since Jokic is so good at everything offensively, you have to try to guess what Spoelstra is going to do to try to limit anything for him. I'm not sure if he's going to let Jokic get a bunch of assists and try to limit him from scoring, or if he tries to simply put bottle up the teammates and basically dare Jokic to average 35 per game in the series, which he can do. I know that the one game this postseason where Jokic dropped 50, they lost. It was mostly because of the fact Booker, once again, couldn't miss a shot for two games. But I am curious, so I don't know if there's much value on either the points or assists unless you want to gamble on what you think Spoelstra is going to do in terms of defensive game planning. Rebounds, I think Jokic is going to clean up on the glass, but 14's a lot. And if you do think Miami's going to constantly involve Jokic in pick and rolls, maybe drag him away from the basket, you can make a case that Jokic can still have a very good series on the boards where he averages 13 rebounds, but 14 is still really high. I think if I had to pick one that I'd consider an under on, it would probably be rebounds, because with the points and assists, once again, it really comes down to how Spoelstra is going to defend him, and he might alternate this, decisions midway through the series, where some games Jokic will score like 40, and other games he might have 15 assists, and it averages out to screw you anyway. The rebounds, I do think Jokic might have one bad rebounding game or two, because once again, he might be dragged away from the basket. We know Bam can occasionally be a ball handler at the top of the key, so that might cause Jokic to drag away from the basket. And with all the shooters they have coming around screens, that could definitely also make Jokic's life difficult remaining in the paint. So I think if I was going to pick one under, it would probably be rebounds. Now, if he averaged like 16 rebounds per game in the series, of course, it wouldn't totally shock me. But based on what Miami's going to try to do offensively, I got to assume they're going to try to get Jokic to run around on the perimeter a lot. And we know Porter Jr. is a good rebounder. Aaron Gordon can be a good rebounder at times. I think one under I'd be tempted by would be rebounds. I don't really feel great about it, but I believe I said in yesterday's podcast, if Jokic went for like 28, 12, and 11 in the series, I feel like that's a pretty reasonable assumption. I'll lean to the rebound under. It feels a little bit high.
Yeah, let's just talk about Jokic. So Jokic, Western Conference Finals, 27.8 points per game, 14.5 rebounds, 11.8 assists in those four games. Semis, 34.5 points per game, 13.2 rebounds, which is crazy because it seemed like he was just grabbing anything and everything. So you can see how a couple of games can bring that total down for you. 13.2 rebounds per game versus the Suns and 10.3 assists. Minnesota, 26.2 points per game, 12.4 rebounds per game. Again, another series that felt like he was grabbing everything. 9 assists per game. So I think there's a world of opportunity. It's just, are you willing to fade Nikola Jokic, or are you willing to go down with the ship?
When you say opportunity,
and I don't think I'm willing to fade him.
I was going to say, is there an angle that you're considering fading? You just mean in general because his numbers are so high and everything.
I think that is just because I would do the rebounds. If I had to do anything, it's the rebounds, just because it can be 2-9 games really brings you down. Like two games with 9 can bring you down, and you can be under 13.8. Like, you're basically saying you're getting the 14, and he's been under 13.8 in
Averaged against Phoenix? Because the Lakers have a lot of big men, and of course they're not the greatest.
Phoenix was 13.2.
Okay. I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable.
But that's still an under.
I was going to say, yeah. So I'm saying 13.2 does sound more ballpark, because the Lakers have AD. LeBron was going to the rim a lot, and Jokic was kind of being able to park himself in the lane. I don't think he's going to be as fortunate to do the same thing against Miami. So I think 13 sounds about right.
All right. Let's move over. Well, before we move over to the star of the Miami Heat, let me talk to you about Edge Boost, because Edge Boost is the world's first now bet now pay later Visa card, where, again, I don't think you understand how great this really, really is. Edge Boost currently offers you up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be huge for you. Let's say you have a 70-1 Miami Heat future and you want to hedge that bet, but you need the additional funds to hedge it. You can use Edge Boost, where they will double your deposit in your account, no interest. You're not going. It's not somebody with a baseball bat trying to take you down. It's no interest for weekly payments after. And you can put that down on the Denver Nuggets. You can hedge out of that bet and secure yourself some major profit, pay back the money that Edge Boost loans you, and still come up huge. It's really, really great to help support and grow your bankroll. And you can support SGPN as well by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge and sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Jimmy Buckets, Hemi Buckets, as trademarked by him. So again, trademarked by him. Jimmy, don't try to put me in the ledger or nothing like that. That is your thing. Hemi Buckets. Points per game, 27.8 points per game, minus 115 both ways. Rebounds per game, 7.5, minus 115 both ways. Assists per game, 6.3, minus 115 both ways. Scott, I'm going to start with you. And you can
just,
even
just
throw
ask,
in,
can you just read off the averages that Butler had last series just before I talk about it?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll read off all the series. I can do that 100%. So Jimmy Butler, and we'll go chronological order this time. So Jimmy Butler in that first series against Milwaukee, where nobody could stop him, he had 37.6 points per game, 6 rebounds, 4.8 assists. Moving on to the New York Knicks, where the New York Knicks could stop him, but they couldn't stop anybody else. 24.6 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 6 assists. And in that series against the Boston Celtics, 24.7 points per game, 7.6 rebounds, 6.1 assists.
I feel like the assists might be a little bit high for this one. Now, on yesterday's show, I did a lean to a potential prop at like plus 460, which was Butler to have a triple-double in any game. But I was on the under in game 7 for his assists. He ended up with 6. But I do think at some point, Butler, you mentioned on yesterday's show that Butler has a good matchup against Denver where he could potentially get himself a bunch of points. Maybe he'll drop 40 plus in a game. We'll see what happens. So I'm going to ignore the points because I do think Butler can have a masterclass game where he drops 40. But I do think for rebounding, Miami's going to need everybody on the glass because Jokic and Denver are so big. So I do think that Butler can take a bigger rebounding responsibility and get there. The assists I'm a little bit on the fence about because Miami shot so well from three last series. And once again, Butler, at the end of games, is going to be the main shot taker for this team. I could see Butler having a big scoring series, but maybe if the supporting cast falls off a little bit because the level they were shooting at against Boston was so unsustainable long-term, they shot over 40% from three, I believe, in four separate games of that Celtics series. I'm going to lean to the assists under on Butler. The number feels a little bit high. Maybe it's just expecting long-term regression from Miami supporting cast with regard to shots. But I also think Butler might look at some teammates and go, I got to drop 40 in this game if we have a shot. So I can see Butler being more aggressive in terms of shooting, but I think I'm going to lean to the under and assists. The number does feel a little bit high.
So one, he's never gotten over this number. It's at 6.3. He's never gotten over this number in any.
It's 6.1, as you said, and everybody on Miami was hitting three-pointers for basically that entire series.
And if you look at his points per game, and that's the thing that I'm going to talk about, is points per game. The only series he hit it in was that Milwaukee series. And what was the assist? 4.8, the lowest of the entire playoffs. I think it's a little bit of the same here. And Jimmy Butler is just so good. And Miami, not Miami, but Denver really doesn't have an answer for him. And he just goes out there and continues to score. And he's not really looking to pass the ball. Like, he's not even thinking about passing the ball because he knows he can put two in the basket right then and there. So if I were to play it, I play the same thing as you, but I would also play it with Jimmy's points over, because if his points goes over, that assist is coming down. Delonte, what do you like here about Jimmy for the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys as far as the points and the assists. I'll pivot to the rebounds and probably go over with the rebounds. I think Scott mentioned it. The size and lack of interior depth is going to cause him to have to be more involved in the glass and help out, especially if Bam gets in foul trouble. I want to say, is Jimmy their second leading rebounder on the team? Do we know? I think he's the second leading rebounder, right?
I'm assuming he is, but shout out to
Caleb. Let me see. For the playoffs, he is the second leading rebounder, correct? Yeah, at seven rebounds per game.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I think he'll be more involved on the rebound, on the glass. I also think that Bam will be initiating more, especially if Joker's on him. They want to put him in a lot of pick and rolls, and he'll be the ball handler for more. And Jimmy will be in the post more. Doing some work. So that's more opportunities for putbacks, offensive rebounds. I want to say he is better in the post-up area than he is like anywhere else on the floor, like from that post, from the block to the like extended free throw line. I think that's his like sweet spot. So I think he'll be able to score like Real said, and I think he'll be able to rebound. Assists I thought was like totally too high. I'm not sure if he's going to be much of a facilitator. Both of you guys mentioned he'll have the ball in his hands late in the games. He's not going to be looking to pass. He mentioned that in post-game interviews about what their late-game offense consists of, and it's basically just him making plays for himself. And, I mean, occasionally he'll, you know, make a basketball play and hit a open guy, but I would assume if the game's on the line down the stretch, it's going to be Jimmy time. So I agree with both of you guys. I like the points over, like the assists under, and I'll just, you know, go with the rebounds over for a bit's sake, just another bit that everybody can have.
I do want to point out, by the way, a reason why this number might be so high is Butler's regular season numbers recently against Denver. He's had at least 7 assists in each of the last 5 games against Denver. 9 assists, 8 assists, 8 assists, 9 assists, 7 assists. But once again, that's regular season numbers. I don't know how many players were out for some of those games. And I think Miami's proven with this NBA Finals run, I'm not really taking anything from the regular season seriously, so I don't know if I can really buy much stock into that, but I'm assuming that could be a reason why this number might seem a little bit inflated. It's because Butler's regular season games against Denver have been pretty high in terms of assists, if I had to speculate.
I think he is probably not going to be – his usage rate is not going to be as high as it was in the last series. I think they'll try to get him off the ball more just so he can keep fresher legs, because he has more, I guess – more defensive responsibilities against the Nuggets than he would against Boston to a certain degree. I think Boston had the 2 main guys, of course, but, you know, their secondary pieces weren't as – I don't think they weren't as good as what theirs is, especially with Joker, you know, finding them in different ways and their jump shots falling. So I think he'll be more so off the ball, and I think Bam will initiate more the pick-and-roll stuff with him, Strus, Robinson, and Vince. So, that's just another piece to it. Brady Hawk, who covers the Miami Heat, does, like, an incredible job, like, breakdown, like, film and stuff. He was saying some of the same stuff about how Bam will be used as an initiator, and they'll probably lower Jimmy's usage rate. So, yeah, I kind of can see that happening here in this series. Maybe, you know, for a game or two, and if it doesn't work, he'll switch it back. But I can at least see Spo giving it a spin.
So here's the question that I wanted to pose, and it's going to lead us into us talking about the number twos for both teams, because Jamal Murray's points prop is at 26.5, rebounds for Murray 5.2, and assists for Murray is at 5.5 assists. So -115 for all of those bets. Here's somebody that we can also talk about threes as well. 3.6 threes. So you're basically saying over 3.5 threes there. All of this is -115 for Jamal Murray, the number two of Denver. Is there a thought that it's the NBA Finals, you're going to get the highest level of basketball on both sides of the court? I am one that I've gone noted on the previous show we did yesterday, and I will say it again here today. I'm taking Jamal Murray under this 26.5 points. One, he's never eclipsed that mark in any game against the Miami Heat ever. And I'm sure he'll do it at some point in this series, but still. Now I have to expect him to do it over the course of an entire series. And a Miami Heat team that I think is going to elevate the level of defense that they play, whether they stick to the zone, whether they go to a man, whether they try different things. I think they're going to elevate the level of defense in this series overall against Jamal Murray and some of these guards for the Denver Nuggets, try to limit that scoring and that offense. Does that play a part in taking anybody's unders, maybe not just Jamal Murray, but any points unders. Scott.
So I will piggyback off of what you said about Murray first. I do like the under with Murray points. I think it's, the number is going to be a bit higher because of how well he shot from the against in the Lakers series, which was, I mean, ridiculous. He averaged 32 points per game. He shot roughly, what, like 40, what was he, mid-40s from three?
I'll tell you right now because I got to pull it up.
40.5.
He was 52.7% from the field for the entire series.
Okay, but the point is he shot lights out. And once again, it goes back to Spoelstra. And I mentioned with the Jokic defense, you're not really sure how you can stop him or what Spoelstra is going to do. There is a chance maybe Spoelstra realizes, listen, we can't stop Jokic, but if we can limit Murray and force the supporting cast guys to take on a bigger role, maybe that'll throw off the hierarchy of the offense. And maybe Murray might continue to shoot himself trying to get out of a slump. And that might completely sabotage the flow of the offense. So there is a world where Spoelstra just decides, you know what, we can't stop Jokic, I know that, but let's just shut down Murray. And if we do that, then maybe we can still find a way to sneak into the series and win it. So I like Murray under. I was trying to think of other pivots to make here because Porter Jr., he really doesn't create his own shot that much. He mostly just tries to come around screens, and I do think if Murray's going to potentially struggle, Porter Jr. might be able to go over. I believe his number was around 15.5 or 16.5, which I think is pretty reasonable. Am I wrong for thinking this is actually a pretty good Aaron Gordon series? Because if Bam's going to be guarding Jokic and Jokic is going to be able to operate towards the free throw line, the backdoor cuts are going to be crazy because Miami doesn't really have any other rim protection besides Bam. And if Bam's going to be guarding Jokic and Jokic can facilitate, then I do think that should open up a lot of backdoor cuts. And I've roasted Gordon a lot for his offensive game because I know he's not the greatest shooter. And sometimes he tries to drive into the lane with no plan and he'll get a charging foul or he'll chuck it off the backboard. But I actually do like Gordon over in points in this series. I think that it's a very good matchup for him. And I'm trying to think of what Miami's going to do with their overall lineup. They tend to go small. And if you have Gordon being matched up on like Caleb Martin or somebody, there is still a pretty solid size advantage in terms of weight there for Gordon. I think my pivot would probably be Gordon points over because I really think he's going to get a lot of backdoor cuts and a lot of open room in the paint.
Yeah, I know. I agree that I was actually looking at that for game one and potential Aaron Gordon big game one. Lante, same question over to you.
Yeah, I'm with you on Murray. I don't think he'll be able to replicate some of the things that he did against the Lakers. The Lakers in the regular season and in the playoffs notoriously weren't good against point guards. I mean, throughout each round, they got murdered by point guard and by just combo guards. I think Bane had a decent series against them in that second round.
Bane had a good series, and he couldn't shoot from three. So right, he had a good series anyway.
Right, and I mean, Ja is Ja, of course, but so he did what he had to do. And Murray dominated them. I just don't think he'll be able to do so against the Heat and what they have defensively. They have like three or four guys that can rotate on them. They got Strus, Vincent, both guys, underrated defenders. Caleb Martin's got the size advantage. He can go over the pick and rolls. He can, he's got length to go over, to go under if he needs to. They'll even probably, I'm guessing, we'll probably see a little bit more Haywood Highsmith just for defensive purposes. So I think he's got a lot to deal with as far as versatility, so he won't be comfortable in getting to his spots. Whereas the Lakers, I mean, other than Schroeder, who's he's a decent defender. I mean, they didn't have many guys to throw at Murray. So I think that I agree with you on the Murray thing, him going under. I was looking at some Bruce Brown stuff. I was trying to see I was hoping that people did, like, I wish we could do points, rebounds, and assists, like, combos for the entire series. But I think he'll be a big factor because Miami second unit, outside of Duncan Robinson, I mean, I don't really trust Kyle Lowry on a full series basis, maybe on a game or two. But I think Bruce Brown will be able to have his way with that second unit. And he does play well with Joker. They start him off, I think. Joker usually rests around the second quarter. And when he comes back, he plays a little bit with Bruce Brown. Same in the fourth quarter. So I like Bruce Brown over this point. I think it was at like 11.1, if I'm not mistaken. I think he'll be able to have a couple of 15-point games and stay consistently over that 11-point mark. Under-wise, probably look at Strus. I like Strus to go under. I think he'll be more focused and locked in defensively. and maybe he'll be the one that is the one that plays less minutes when Hero, if Hero comes back, because Vince is a better ball handler. I think they'll need that against his Nuggets defense.
I do think, since I'm actually happy you brought up Schroeder, because even though he might not have been the most effective, I thought he did a very good job of full court pressing Murray and trying to make Murray expend a bunch of energy dribbling the ball up court. And I have to assume Spoelstra is going to borrow some of that.
He's going to do that. He was doing that to Jaylen Brown, Smart, and Tatum both. All three. So, yeah.
So, once again, Murray struggled with that type of game plan later on in the series. So, that could be the case once again in this series.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Before we get into some of the role players, sleeper picks, everybody else on the team. Well, no, wait. I'm not going to disrespect them. Number two for the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo, 16.6 points per game, rebounds, 9.3, assists. They actually don't. Wait, hold on. Let me go on another book. I know they got.
No, nah, they don't, bro. I was looking all over.
Wow. Okay, but they do have a block. So they have over a block. So they have him on at least that. But they don't have Bam assists. That's actually kind of crazy, because if there was one thing I would have took, it probably would have been the Bam assists. So either way, duration of the playoffs against Milwaukee, he averaged 17.4 points per game, 8.6 rebounds, 5.5 assists per game, and over half a block at 0.6. For the New York Knicks, better. 18.7 points per game, 9.7 rebounds, 2.2 assists, and 0.7 blocks, over that half a block again. And then we have, for the Boston series, 14.9 points per game, 9.1 rebounds, 4.4 assists, and 0.6 blocks. So he's gotten over that half a block every single series of the playoffs, excuse me. Is there anything that intrigues you about Bam Delonte?
Yeah, I like his points over. I think he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more. He's going to have to do more offensively for them to be able to win, because if Joker's his primary defender, that's going to be on him to put the pressure on him and make him work. When his jump is working, when he's confident in it, it's pretty good. I mean, hit two or three to loosen up the defense. I think he'll have to be at least competitive on the glass, so that lands for putbacks. I seen a points and rebound. I think I seen an 18-plus points, 10-plus rebound parlay. I think it's on FanDuel. I think it played like 475, 450, something like that. So I was interested in probably playing that as just like a longer shot, because, I mean, he didn't play well against Boston. I think Boston's defense, interior defense, was a little bit better aside from him just not showing up in a couple games. Denver team, they're just going to have to – Bam is going to have to beat them. They're going to make Bam beat them, and the volume's going to be there. So I like him to go over the – you said it was 16.6?
Yes, 16.6.
Yeah, so I like him to go over that 16.6. And if you just want to take a little small flyer, it's on FanDuel. 18-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, averaging in the series. I think it's 450. I'll get the exact price while you guys do your handicap.
Scott, anything intrigue you about Bam Adebayo?
I think I'm leaning to the unders on a decent amount of stuff here. Simply put, I think that Bam can have success in the series if he stays on the court. The problem is, I think he's going to be in foul trouble basically every game. I don't think he's going to be able to stay on the floor. I think Jokic is going to take him off the dribble and at that point back him down, because he has a bunch of weight advantage on Bam, and Bam's going to be in trouble. Plus, Bam also gets like a guaranteed moving screen foul every single game, so that's not going to help things out. But Bam on the rebounds, he was better as the series went on, but we know that he's still in line for an underwhelming rebounding game. But for me, it's the points that give me a hard time for the average. Because there will be one game in the series minimum where Bam scores like 7 points. He'll go like 3 for 12, and he's going to score 7 points, and it's going to completely sabotage the average. But maybe it's just because I watched him in game 7 and he was unable to back down Derek White in the low post. I want nothing to do with an over on Bam's points. I can't. I can't do it. I'm going to lean to the under on points. It's mostly because of foul trouble. I am tempted by Bam blocks, though. I find the block over pretty fascinating at the numbers that high when he really didn't do much rim protection against Boston. And I think a good reason for that is, if I'm expecting Aaron Gordon to go over and some of the backdoor cuts to be available for Denver in the series, that does mean that Bam has some opportunities to potentially patrol the lane while Boston was settling for a bunch of threes instead. So stylistically, I do think Bam blocks might be worth a look, because I do think that Denver will try to have a lot of backdoor cuts trying to set up layups, and Bam can maybe sit there for a possession or two and get one. So I am going to go with Bam over in blocks. But for the actual points, I think I'm going to lean under, because once again, I think foul trouble is just an inevitability in the series.
So the blocks thing is interesting because it's at half. So he literally just needs one block in half the games of the series.
And so you can push.
You can push. Now, if he gets more, then, you know, that'll bring him up to that 0.6, 0.7 that we've seen him at. But if he literally has just one block in half the game this series, it's a push. Now, it's also minus 166. So that's why it's juice, because there is a little bit more of a probability that he can get there. But I'm with you. I think Bam, like, one block and half the games at the bare minimum. Yeah. All right.
Do you see steals average?
No, I don't. That's what I was looking for. I was going to say
Bam the last two games against Denver. It was regular season, but he had at least two steals in each of the last two meetings. He had four steals two meetings ago. So I can see Bam having a pretty good steals series here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for, and I didn't find it. So, all right, here. Before we get into the other guys, we'll call them the other guys, got to talk to you about our NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals contest, because you can get down on the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals prop contest exclusively in the SGPN app. We have game props, we have series props, all of that, and a $100 SGPN gift card is up for grabs. Download the SGPN app today. And I'm going to ask a question from that contest so that, you know, I'm going to throw it out to the panel and you can see what we're thinking and how we're thinking about it. Question is, which one of these do I want to ask? Let's do this one. More three-pointers made, Michael Porter Jr. or Caleb Martin?
I'm going to go Porter Jr.
Yeah, I'm going Porter Jr. too.
I just think the volume is going to be there for Porter Jr., at least more than Martin.
And he'll be able to shoot over anybody they put on him.
Yeah, I am. I think people are going to be on Caleb Martin because it was a great story. He played really, really good in that last series, and that's going to transition us to the other guys that we're about to talk about right now in this next block. I'm taking Michael Porter Jr. That's my pick as well. Make sure you get down on that contest exclusively in the SGPN app.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
But Caleb Martin is one of the guys that I'm talking about, because there was a night and day difference between Caleb Martin versus the Boston Celtics and Caleb Martin in the rest of the NBA playoffs. Not only is this a new team, a new location, a new scheme, but Tyler Hero is also expected back at some point in this series, most likely game three. Caleb Martin's points prop is at 16.5 for the series. Well, no, it's not. I see it at 15.4. Where the heck was that 16.5 at? I feel like I just saw somebody that had 16.5. Maybe that was for one game. Okay. Either way, it's at 15.4 for this series. So I lied there. It's at 15.4. I'm the contrarian that I am, and seeing everybody that is just all about Caleb Martin. And while I do want Caleb Martin to play well, it was a great story. I have to go back. I knew I saw 16. I see a 16.5 on FanDuel. So we're going to talk about that, because that's
what you can go for a middle if you want to.
You very much could go for a middle there. And I think there is room for a middle there. I agree with you. But 16.5, I'm slamming the under there, under minus 120 juice. I just don't think he's going to replicate that against a different team. and continue to play as well as he did. Like, that just feels like he just had the perfect matchup where they just didn't know how to guard him. They kept losing track of him because they were focusing on other guys. And he continuously found himself open. And once you're hot, you're hot. Now he's had some time to cool off. Now he's going to Denver. Everything's different. I love the story about Caleb Martin, but I'm fading him. I'm taking his under 16.5 points per game for the series. Delonte, what say you?
Yep, I'm right there with you. Couldn't have said it better myself. Film is out on him. I'm pretty sure Denver was preparing for Miami after they went up 3-0, and they probably just got more prep time as the series went on. So I think they're going to be more game plan to be able to stop him. He got a lot of wide, like literally wide open threes against Boston. Not sure Denver will be reluctant to do that. They defended the three pretty well in the regular season. I don't have the playoff stats, the updated ones in front of me, so I can't see how well they did against the three in the playoffs, but I know they were pretty good in the regular season. So I don't think he'll get as many wide open looks. He got to put the ball on the floor more, and they'll probably make him into a driver rather than a shooter. So I agree with you 100% on the Caleb Martin under.
All right, Scott, I mean, you're going to tell me if I'm crazy. Am I crazy for fading Caleb Martin here?
No, I don't think you're crazy because, once again, I mentioned how there might be some regression in line for Miami, and if there's regression in line for one guy, it would probably be Caleb Martin, who's been an NBA journeyman or afterthought before this playoff run. So I think it makes sense, but you could also make an argument that Caleb Martin was an afterthought and he was flying under the radar, and now he arguably should have won Eastern Conference Finals MVP. So now Denver might actually be game planning for him. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to sound like an exaggeration. Do you think half
game
of Boston's
for
roster?
Caleb Martin?
I was going to say, do you think half of Boston's roster even knew Caleb Martin was going into that series?
It's a lot of people in the world that didn't know who Caleb Martin
That's
was.
My point. But the point is now he kind of has a target on his back because of how good he was. And I do think that you're going to see Denver really focus on him, at least partially with the game plan. And I do think that Boston at some point defensively was just shot because they kept giving up a bunch of wide open looks, as Delonte said, to a bunch of shooters, not just Caleb Martin. But I do think that Martin is in line for some regression. One, just based on law of averages. He shot so well for the series, I do think he's in line to start 60%. Missing some shots. And two, once again, Denver saw him torch an entire team for 7 games. I do think they're going to make some adjustments to prevent him from having as much success too. But what number did you say it was? You said it was – what was the higher number? You said it was 16 and change 16 on FanDuel?
16.5 just seems insane. Like, it really does. So I don't know if I read what his averages were for the rest, but for the other games in the series, but he averaged 19.3 for that series versus the Celtics. 2 series before that, Milwaukee, he averaged 11.2. Knicks, he averaged 10.5.
But the point is Martin shot that well from the floor the entire series against Boston, and he's still at 19. So I think that with the regression you're expecting, you only need a 3-point drop-off, which is really reasonable. I like the under. I think he might have a good series, but a good series still might be 14, 15 points.
All right. So let's stick with you. Give me another guy. Give me a guy that and we'll count Michael Porter Jr. Some people don't want to count Michael Porter Jr. as the other guy. We're going to count him as the other guy because they're not one of the top two guys. But give me another guy. Another guy that you're targeting some type of prop series long that you think can have a really good series and impact for their team.
When you say a really good series, you mean player prop based? You just mean like an important
player prop
based?
Like, yeah, we don't care if you have a good series.
That's why I was making sure because I was going to consider maybe. I also got to figure out which lines are even available for some guys. I can see Lowry having some problems in this series because he doesn't have much athleticism. And once again, Denver is huge at a lot of positions. I can see Lowry having a lot of problems scoring in the series. Now, I don't see a prop on Lowry points. I don't know if that's a little bit too much of a deep dive there because he's a bench player.
Yeah, you're scuba diving there, sir.
I am scuba diving, but maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Lowry had a great Game 7. He still didn't score many points, and he's going to rely heavily on threes because, once again, Denver can clog the lane, and they have a lot of size there. So I don't see a prop on him, but I do like the under on Lowry points. I think Lowry's going to have a hard time scoring in the series.
All right. Let's see here. Who do we have? We have Michael Porter Jr. In just terms of points, if you want to throw out rebounds, assists, threes, please feel free to do that.
Porter Jr. rebounds, I'm kind of tempted by. Points, it's exactly where DeLonte and Isaiah ends up in every game. It's like the 15-16 point range, so I don't see much value there. The rebounds are tempting because Porter Jr. had a couple of double-doubles in the last series against the Lakers. Miami doesn't have much size. If they pull Jokic away from the basket, then you might see Gordon and Dash or Porter Jr. rebound more. So I do think Porter Jr. rebounds is worth a look.
At 7 rebounds, minus 115 both ways. Porter Jr.'s points prop is 15.5, minus 15 both 115 both ways. Yeah, KCP up here as well, 11.5 points, minus 115 both ways. You have Aaron Gordon, 11.7, minus 115 both ways. So Porter Jr., KCP, Aaron Gordon, Caleb Martin, those are the other guys that are listed right now. If I had to pick anybody of those guys, I'm kind of teetering back and forth between Porter Jr. and Gordon. I think one of the
two. I already gave out the over on Gordon. So, I already gave out the over on Gordon. So.
Yeah. I'm kind of teetering there. I think I want to go Porter Jr., but maybe 2.8 threes. You're basically saying you're getting 3 threes a game. I would have liked that to be a little bit lower, but that 15.5 points, like, he's been around that number basically every single time he's played the Miami Heat. We know Michael Porter Jr., if he does anything, he's going to shoot the basketball. Like, don't give him the ball if you don't want him to shoot it. Just do not give it to him if you don't want to shoot it, whether it's going to be a high percentage shot or a low percentage shot. It doesn't matter. Once the ball touches hand, it's going towards the basket. You better get in position for a rebound. So I think just with that aggressiveness alone, he should walk into easy 15 for majority of this series. And then if he's hot, he can be around that 17, 18, 19 points per game range. So Michael Porter Jr. is probably a bet that I'm getting down on over 15.5 for the duration of the series. Delonte, other guys, who do you like?
I was looking at Vincent for total threes made to be the total threes made leader. He's 14-1 he's 14-1 at DraftKings, but he is 12-1 at FanDuel. I think Strus is at 7-1, which is kind of odd because he's at 20. He's at what is it? He's at 21. Not 21. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong numbers. He's 7-1 at DraftKings, but 21-1 at FanDuel, which is kind of odd. But I was looking at him.
Just disparity.
Right. So I think they got his number mixed up or whatever. But I was looking at Vincent for total threes made. I think he'll be on the court more. He's one of the better ball handlers, so he has to be on the floor to initiate the offense. One of my favorite props that I played was actually a guy that we didn't mention. It was Duncan Robinson through court, 2+3s in every game. That's at 14-1. So I'll break it down like this. He made 2+3s in 5 of 7 games against Boston. In the games that he didn't score 2 or more or make 2 or more, he had played 9 and 10 minutes in the game. So, I mean, that's just volume. He didn't get enough volume. Against New York, he made 2+3 in 3 of the 6 games. He played 11 minutes, 12 minutes, and 12 minutes. Those 3 games that he did go over, and he still managed to make 1 in 2 of those 3 games. He made 2+3 in 3 of the 5 games against Milwaukee, only played 6 minutes in game 1, still made 1 in both games. He did not have to end. So total that up, he's made 2+3s in 11 of 18 playoff games, and most of the games that he didn't go over that number or hit 2, he just didn't play enough minutes. So I think the volume will be there for Duncan. I think he'll get a lot more playing time to loosen up the defense of Denver. So I like him 2+3s at 14-1. That's every game, though, 2+3s.
All right, yeah. I don't know if I can get there on that one, man. So is it every game he plays? Is it every game of the series?
Well, so in the writing, it has every game of the series. So,
if he's a healthy DMP, then you lose.
No. He has to play. He has to play.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so every game he has to play. Just think about when Tyler Hero comes back. Like, if anybody gets their minutes taken, It's gonna be Duncan Robinson, man. Like, I don't know about that one. You, and it's 2+. I mean, 2+3s isn't a lot to ask for him, but it's just the fact of I don't know what his role is, because his role really expounded when Tyler Hero went down. Like he was on the bench, like legitly on the bench. And so if Tyler Hero is back in this series and Tyler Hero is contributing and playing 20+ minutes a night, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I don't. I'm making on him not coming back playing. I'm thinking going to ease him in, maybe like 10 to 12 minutes. He'll play in pockets and still going to get his, you know, 15, 18 minutes. I think all we need is 15, 18 minutes. He can make 2 threes in 15, 18 minutes. I mean, most of his shots are going to be from deep, so the volume is going to be there. Just how I'm looking at it. Like, I don't think Tyler's going to come back and play a ton of minutes off rip. I mean, he just started shooting like a week ago. So,
all right. Scott, anything for points leader, rebound? Well, rebounds leader, we basically know.
Rebounds leader, but I mentioned.
I think threes leader is a good conversation to have, though. I think that's very, very good conversation to have, because you can go a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, you can.
And let's talk about that before we get out of here. So, let me know if you see better numbers out, but consensus top two is Jamal Murray, who is probably laying juice. I see -175 here. Michael Porter Jr. is second at +380. Everybody else is going to be a pretty much juice price that they have the number. Every book has different numbers on this. So really, really shop around for your best line. If we think Jamal Murray has a bad series, which we do, this could be the prop that we can cash very, very nicely and really not even have to worry about it too much. So, Michael Porter Jr., Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent. We haven't talked about KCP at all this whole breakdown. Of these guys, and these are probably going, it's probably going to come from one of these five guys. Where do you feel like you're going with this? Lante said he liked Gabe Vincent. Scott, yeah, I'm going to pose a question to you.
I mean, I would be tempted by Strus if he had better odds, but to be honest, Strus has not exactly been good this entire postseason, so I don't know why his odds are that low. I probably would make a case for either KCP, or if you want to go for, I mean, KCP is at around 18-1, which is pretty tempting. The only concern would be a potential lack of volume, but I do think KCP has some merit if you think he can make, how many threes do you think you actually need to get? Like three per game to have a shot at winning this bet? Do
you
think
you got to be at least at three. You got to be at least three per game.
I think KCP can get there. I know it kind of goes contrarian on what we talked about before, because we just talked about Caleb Martin unders. 9-1, I mean, if we're trying to avoid Jamal Murray and Porter Jr., I don't trust Strus at all. Vincent, maybe, but with Hero coming back, once again, I'm not sure what the rotations are. Caleb Martin has to play 40 minutes a game. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to bench him after what just happened against Boston. So if you want to take a flyer and you kind of want to disagree with us in terms of points per game, for the under on Martin, I think his odds make sense because of the playing time he should be getting. But I think if I had to go for flyers, it would be KCP at 18-1 and Martin at 9-1. Maybe you could shop around and find better lines on them, but I see 900 and 18-1 on DraftKings. Do you see anything better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. FanDuel is juiced on these. KCP is 35-1 on FanDuel. Caleb Martin is 13-1 on FanDuel.
Just saying, so if I was taking flyers on those, KCP at 35-1, I think, is basically an autoplay. If you want to take a flyer, that's
I'm not. He just had three against the Lakers. Now, you could say it's against the Lakers, but there's no way I'm not sprinkling on KCP.
At 35-1, that's worth something.
That's insane.
And Martin, once again, 13-1 for a guy who's in great form and has played 40-plus minutes each of the last two games. He has to play a bunch. They don't have a choice. So those would be my two, I'd say, sleeper candidates to get the three-point winner. It would be Martin at 13-1 and KCP at 35-1.
So I 100% think it's Michael Porter Jr. He's gonna it's volume alone, honestly. Like, through this, you gotta have volume, and he can go 3-for-10 and still be the threes leader, averaging 3 per game. So, I think volume alone, you gotta play Michael Porter Jr. at +380 on DraftKings. That's actually the best line that I see for him. KCP at 35-1, I agree with you. Just because of the odds, I'll play it.
The thing is, for threes, though, it's all about variance anyway, because you don't know who's going to be hot and who's going to be cold. So I'm never going to lay a minus price on threes besides like maybe Steph Curry, you know, because he's the best shooter of all time. But that's why I feel like I'm not going to take Porter. I kind of wanted a little bit more value. I get the argument, which is the volume will be there. He might attempt like seven threes a game. But I kind of want a bigger price. And I do think that once again, if you're looking at the 3 points market, which I think might be the most volatile market available because it all comes down to streaky shooting, I'll take two streaky shooters at much bigger prices.
I'm going to agree with Lance as well. I like Gabe Vincent here at 12 to 1. Is that the best price for Vincent? 14 to 1.
No, you can get 14. Price. You can get 14.
So, yeah, I like Vincent at 14 to 1. And I mean, that's just solely because I think he's actually, if you put all these, everybody together, maybe not in front of Jamal Murray, actually, but he's averaging one of the highest 3 points made for the playoffs. I mean, he's made basically three in every single series, I think it is. Last series against the Boston Celtics, he made 2.7 for the Knicks, it was 1.8, and for the Bucks, it was 2.8. So it's been there consistently. It looks like the ankle is going to be good, enough rest time. He played pretty solid on it through the end of that series, so it should be good. Don't have to worry about that. He's going to get the attempts, and he's going to put them up, and he's going to have the minutes per game. It just seems like Gabe Vincent is the guy that, if healthy, they're going to continue to play him a large amount of minutes, regardless of who's coming in and out of the rotation. So I went Lance there. I like Gabe Vincent as a sprinkle, but ultimately I do think it is Michael Porter Jr. And that's probably where the majority of my units in this category is going to go to. All right. And I'm actually, matter of fact, I see some people in the chat talking about, you know, Mike Porter Jr. and inconsistency. And trust me, I really do hate inconsistency. But I really, really think this is just a really good matchup for him just because of the size advantage and the fact that, nobody's really going to be able to challenge him for those threes, and that's going to boost his points prop and his threes prop. So I'm going to make my edge boost double down play of the day. Michael Porter Jr. to lead the series in threes, plus 380. Get down, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Get down on that bet and get you an additional deposit with your bet now, pay later, Visa card. All right. Let's end the show here with a lock and a dog. Any type of series prop, any type of plus money dog, whatever you want to throw out there. Lance, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the dog because I already mentioned it. I like the Duncan Robinson 2+3s made at 14-1. He's got to make it in every game. If he doesn't play, if he gets a DNP, then it's automatic cancellation. So you don't have to worry about that. I outlined it earlier, so I just don't want to regurgitate it. But I think he has a good shot to do it. He did it in 11 of 18 games, playing minimal minutes in the games that he didn't go over. For my lock, I like Denver to have the highest scoring game in the finals at minus 140. I mean, it's just pretty simple. Denver's the more explosive team. They're more likely to score 130, 125, 130 range than what Miami is. Even when Miami's scorching from deep or whatever, they still aren't – I don't think they are capable of scoring, you know, at more than what Denver is. So I think Denver will outscore them in a pretty dramatic fashion, and I think they'll have the highest scoring game of the finals between the two. So pretty simple. Denver Nuggets minus 140. It might be a little bit cheaper if you shop around. I've seen like 140, 135, 138. So just shop around. I'm just giving out 140 because that's more widely available for everybody.
All right, Scott, over to you.
All right. So I think for my lock on this one, I'm actually going to go with an under. I'm going to take the Jimmy Butler assists under 6.3. I just think that number's too high. Terrell and I think that Butler is going to have a couple of games where he just goes near 40, potentially, where he just has to score. And I do think that Butler, we know at the end of games, is trying to take over by scoring, not by facilitating. But Boston did a really terrible job of watching back cuts and by really just not keeping track of anybody. And Miami shot north of 40% from three in four separate games. I think that falls off a little bit. They really found something in the playoffs with Bam being the main ball handler on the top of the key. and trying to save the usage rate of Butler, letting him operate more off ball, trying to get some backdoor cuts. That's going to limit the number of assist opportunities that he has. I think Butler's number is way too high for assists. I'm going to go with the under 6.3. I think he finishes with around like 5.5, if I had to guess.
All right. And for your dog.
So for my dog, I'm going to go. I know I gave out Jokic triple-double in every game at 18-1 for the episode yesterday, but I do still like that. I also like I co-signed the Delonte play of Denver to have the highest scoring game at like minus 140. That line should be a lot higher. Denver's going to be favored in almost every game. I feel like that's definitely a pretty interesting price there. But looking at any other props that I'm tempted by, I mean, there's a baby dog that I'm tempted by, but I don't think it's enough value. It's literally just even money, which isn't really good enough.
No, it just doesn't count.
I know it doesn't count. I know. What do I like here? Sorry, I'm kind of just scrambling here. You know what? I'm gonna take a flyer here. Give me Bam to average 10 plus rebounds in the NBA Finals. Actually, no, I can't do that because I said he was going under. I thought about it at plus 200 because I think 200 is a decent value play. But sorry, I'm kind of just scrambling here. I'm sorry. Do you want to go and you can just get back to me?
Easy for me. Jamal Murray under 26.5 points per game. Again, he's going to hit over this prop in one game, maybe two games, possibly even three. But he just hasn't had a lot of good games against Miami. Like, I don't think that he can do it over the course of the entire series. And any bad game can really, really drag this down. He may finish here at 24, 23. Is that good? Yes. Is it enough for this prop, and do I still make money? Absolutely. I'm going Jamal Murray, under 26.5 points per game for the entire series. For my dog, let's go to I will actually go to a total points prop, and I'll take Jimmy Butler. Plus 160 to be the leading point scorer in this series.
That was the play that I found that I was going to take. I found 170 on draft.
See, you should have went.
I should have went. I know.
No, but yes, I think Jimmy Butler is going to be on one. I think this is going to be very, very similar to that Milwaukee series where Jimmy Butler's just, he starts to feel it. And once he starts to feel it, it doesn't go away. He's going out there and he's scoring 30 plus in every single game. I think Jimmy Butler's going to have an amazing series. Let me see if I can find a actual Jimmy to is there a Jimmy scores 30 in every game or something like that kind of prop? Matter of fact, no, because Jokic is good for one game. I'm not going to do that one. I'm not giving out losing bets. I was looking at 20-1 Jimmy to outscore Jokic in every single game of the NBA Finals, but Jokic is good for a 40-piece.
There's going to be one game in there where Jokic just
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. We're not giving out losing bets. So let's go with they're so scary by not. Oh, there we go. All right, Jimmy Butler to average 30 plus points. So if you want the total points, you could have it because Jimmy Butler to average 30 plus points in the NBA Finals is plus 240. I love that.
I think I found an even bigger D-gen play, which involves Butler, but I just want to quickly go through the numbers against Boston just to see if it actually cashed. But I found a prop that I find quite fascinating. So it did not cash in a couple of games against Boston, but Butler was shooting more threes as the series went on. Butler to make a three in every game is 5-1. That's 1-3 in every game at 5-1, which I think is kind of appealing. Quickly looking around here. By the way, to tell you how low the odds makers are on Bam, Bam to score 15 points in every finals game is 11-1. You know what? I'm going to go with a flyer here, which I was tempted by. I didn't mention it before.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. Bam to score 15 points in each game is 15-1. And it is 11-1 on FanDuel.
Oh, no. Come on now. 15?
15. That caught my eye.
He gets the 15.
It's every game. I think he's going to have one game where he's brutal. So I don't think he's going to hit that bet, but it's 11-1.
That's a good bet. Oh, I don't even like Bam.
I see Martin 2+ made threes in every game at plus 420. But I'm going to go for a long shot prop here. I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler. 2+ steals in every game at 16-1. I think it's quite tempting. He's had at least 2 steals in, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 5 of the last 7 games. So he did it 5 out of 7 against Boston. He's going to play north of 40 minutes in every game. So I'm going to go with Butler, 2+ steals in every game at 16-1.
All right, there we go. Scott, anything else for people before we get up out of here?
Not really. Looking forward to the finals. I know we'll be back once again tomorrow for game one. Should be fun. But besides that, I know Terrell and I have the WMDA gambling podcast. We got an NFL show coming up later this week. I got the tennis podcast. So a lot of sports going on, a lot of bets to be made, and a lot of money to be made.
All right, Lante, anything else for people before we get up out of here?
Nothing else, man. Good luck to everybody on your bets.
All right, we will be back tomorrow for game one breakdown of the NBA Finals. Don't ask me who's going to be on that show because I don't know. But some combination of us four will be here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, talk about game one NBA Finals. If you're not already, make sure you follow us on Twitter at SGPNNBA. Make sure you're following, like, comment, subscribe, all of that stuff on YouTube as well. NBA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Check us out. WNBA is streaming on the NBA Podcast Gambling Podcast feed as well. Other than that, I have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. No other way of ending the podcast. We're just going to end it like this. We are –